Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone out there in Radio Talk. God bless you all. I hope that you've had a wonderful day today, and I hope everything has, whatever is went your way. I hope you were able to pull your way through it and find yourself back into the comfort of the Lord. It may have been some bad news today, but you made it through it. You're making it through it. Look at yourself. I know you didn't think that you could hold up under this kind of pressure, but you are. You're still there. You're still there. And just know that you're not alone. God has designated so many people to be in your corner right now. Right now may be the time that you need to just stop blocking and stop refusing the phone calls and just, I know you say, I just don't want to hear anything from anybody right now, but whatever you're going through, I feel like that this is a time that God has a word he's trying to get to you. So make sure that you open your heart. And as you were praying and asking God to lead us and bring a comforting word, don't block that comforting word. He has it for you. Amen? He has it for you. Maybe you're healing and you heard one word from the doctors today, but God has that comforting word, and it is for you, and he's waiting to deliver it. Don't be a blocker today. Hallelujah. We ask sometimes, but we don't open our hearts to receive when he is preparing our hearts for that comfort, preparing our hearts for that healing, for that direction that we're waiting on, that we're praying for. So hard, God has a way of bringing it to us. Amen? Amen. God bless you all, and God keep you all, and pray together tonight, okay? Let's bring all of our burdens together. Let's pray and lay them down at the altar. Let's seek the face of the Lord and his word, his righteousness. It doesn't change. It's here for us. Let's believe God for our healing today. It may be a spiritual healing that you're needing tonight. You say, I want my joy back. It may be a mental healing that you're suffering and deleted from right now tonight. Tonight is your night. Do you believe it? If you believe it, you're going to receive it, sister. Tonight may be a healing that you say, this is not a mental, this is not really physical, but there's something going on in my spirit right now. It's something got me so turned up right now that I just can't say my hallelujah. I can't seem to get over what's been done to me. And I need to come back to the altar and lay it down. Here's our time, sisters and brothers. Let's do it together. Let's start in Revelation 19. Hallelujah. Revelation 19 for our scripture. Just a couple words here. It said, after this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, hallelujah. Come on, sisters and brothers. Can you hear that? The roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, hallelujah. Salvation and glory and power belongs to our God. For true and just is his judgment. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. And again they shouted, hallelujah. 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 And the smoke from her goes up forever and ever. The great multitude, hear the roar of God. Won't you join in with the great multitude and just praise God today? Just praise God for wherever he's at. Forget about your problems right now. Forget about your worries. Forget about your cares. Oh, and let's just choose to take 30, 45 minutes here and just praise God. Let's just learn from what it is that he has for us tonight. And let's tuck it deep inside of our hearts. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Let's put some mouth in our heart that's going to speak of the good word. Let's put something in our heart that's going to get us to meditate on the good things. Meditate what is? Meditate on those things that are good. Hallelujah. Believe in God for our healing tonight. In all areas of our life. Call out somebody's name tonight that you're looking for deliverance. that you've been praying for. You got on that prayer wall, and you're on your knees, and you're praying. And you're telling your sisters and brothers to join you and intercede for the prayer and the deliverance of that person. Tonight is the night. Let's join together. Believe in God for those healings. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the precious Holy Spirit. Dear Father, we touch our bodies, we touch our minds, we touch our spirits, and we just want to dedicate our lives back to you. All that I am, all that I have, all that I will be, I just give it back to you, dear Father. We come to you thanking you, Jesus. Oh, you're so gracious. Thanking you, Jesus. You're so patient. Thanking you, Jesus. You're so kind. Thanking you, Jesus. You're such a deliverer. Thanking you, Jesus. Such a provider or protector. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for the things that we don't even understand that went on in our lives today, that's going on presently, that you're holding back the mighty hand of death away from us, that you're protecting us even though we're crying to give, give, give. You said, no, child, this is not. This will harm you. Thank you for protecting us, Jesus. Dear Father, I ask that I decrease, and we invite you to come and just live inside of us and open up your mouth and just use me, your vessel, to send your word of comfort, your word of directions, your learning word, your powerful word to each and one of those who are willing to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. We've got to be willing to receive what it is that he asked for us. You know, healing did not pass away with the disciples. We get caught up in the healing stories and we confess that, yeah, I believe that healing was there, but we can't believe it right in front of us. You know, sometimes even we get caught off guard when we go into the homes of the sick or we go into the hospitals of the sick and we have the great intentions of praying for them. But what are we really praying for? We can get so caught off guard sometimes by the situation around us. You know, sometimes all of the code blues going off and people may be running with all kind of different machines or we go in there to see someone and they're hooked up to all of these apparatuses and it just can get us caught off guard, even when we go in with the best intentions. We may have our collars on and we have our Bibles and our crosses, but if we don't have faith, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, the anointing, if we haven't invited the Holy Spirit to come and go with us before us, if we haven't thrown away all of our guilt and the things that is blocking us, and we have to make sure we're an empty vessel that has been refilled by the Holy Spirit, and he can walk in us, he can talk in us, and then he can get the message over to whomever is willing to receive it. So the same disciples, the same healings that the disciples witnessed, sometimes they had problems still believing at the end, and they witnessed it. So God knows that we're going to have these issues, and that's why he said, I'm available. I'm available to you. Come draw from me my strength when we're weak. It's easy to let the world get us caught up and think that our color has some power in it, that our color makes you want to reverence me and not God. But our truth is, I can't save anyone. But I can lead you in the direction of the Savior. I can allow myself to be used by the Savior. And through my temple, through my voice, through the works of my hands, he can touch your heart. Amen? It's not Minister Bond, but he can touch your heart. It's your Savior, your Creator. He knows how to get to you. He knows what you need to see, what you need to hear. And he knows how it needs to be delivered to you. Now, those things is out of my hands. I don't know those things. But I'm telling you tonight that I believe in my God. And I know that he has a healing and is waiting for you. It's waiting for me. Healing did not pass away with the disciples. It didn't even stop when Jesus left the earth. His plan was that we continue to lay hands on the sick. His plan was that we continue to watch them recover. Some need a laying hands on the sick if you're not intending to watch them in their recovery. You know, healing is still available today for anyone, anyone that will believe God for their healing. Anyone that will believe God for their healing. I know sometimes the pain is so bad, you say, I'd just rather go. I'm not for sure I want to stay here and have to go through to receive my healings because it may not be instant. It may be. It may be a road and a process to get you there. I come to remind you, sisters and brothers, it will all make sense when God delivers you and takes you to where he's going to take you to. It will all make sense of all the trials and tribulations that you're going through right now. It will all make sense when he presents you with the gift that he has in store for you. All of this will make sense. Romans 8:18 is one of my favorite verses. And just to paraphrase, it says a little bit something like this, that all of this stuff that you're going through right now, all of the struggles that you're going through right now, it doesn't mean anything. You forget about all of that. It won't mean a thing to you when God delivers all of his glory, when he delivers all of his joy. It won't mean a thing to you. You know, a woman can go through childbirth and, oh, she can go through some terrible pains. And it's really just something that you're just like, wow, I bet you should never do that again. But then she sees this little baby. And then she holds this little one in her arms. And before you knew it, she's in that doing it all over again. All over again. Hallelujah, because she believes that through this pain, there's something beautiful on the other side. There's something beautiful on the other side. So anyone who will believe God for their healing, you're in the right position to receive it. Now, you got to go ahead and make up your mind right now. There's no need to keep listening to the reading right now until you make up your mind what you're going to believe. You see, actually, healing is not just a New Testament experience that began with the ministry of Jesus. But it also continued through the disciples. But healing has always been an established truth of the Bible. Even though the curse of sickness came into the earth through Adam's disobedience, we understand that. But healing was still available by faith. Why else would Abraham pray for it? In Genesis 20:17, Abraham said, so Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants and they and their bare children. See, apparently Abraham knew that healing was God's will for mankind. That's why he prayed for it. Covering all those may be healed. Regardless of any personal experiences, the Bible must be our final authority that healing belongs to us. Regardless if you've said that the doctors have said that you was healed from this disease before and now it's back. Regardless of if your mother and your father died from this disease, you've got to have faith to believe that regardless of that personal experience, the Bible is your final authority, that healing belongs to you. Let's look at Exodus 10:26. I pray that you have your sword with you. Hallelujah. It says God is revealed as our what? Healer. He's our healer. I am the Lord who heals you. He's revealing himself as your healer. Do you believe that? Do you say you believe the Bible? This is the word of the Lord. If you believe the word, the Bible, you should believe it from the beginning to the end and everything in the middle. We can't decide what we're going to believe on which day, and depending on what our circumstance looks like. Circumstances have to fall down, bow down to the Word of God. I know you've been sticking that needle in your arm, and I know you got a long way to get yourself back right. You can't do it on your own. That's why you keep going back and forth to rehab. That's why every relationship that you get into is broken, is spoiled. You can't do this by yourself. You must call on the Savior, the Healer. Again, Exodus 15:26, I am the Lord who heals you. And when we follow his instructions in Deuteronomy, according to 7:15, it says, God promised to us is that he will take away from you all sickness. Now, I know. I've heard it preached and taught. But it's just a thing. It's just a thing that you're supposed to be sick. You're supposed to be down. Christians are supposed to always struggle, and that just makes our faith even more stronger. Let's take the good and the bad with us. Remember, our final authority must be the Word of God. It cannot be some experience that someone is sharing with you, or it cannot be an experience that you personally have shared. But it says when we follow his instructions, the instructions again were, God's promise to us is that he will take away from you all sickness. And Isaiah 53 goes on to tell us that it boldly declares, as a matter of fact, it says, surely, that's your boldly, surely he has bore our grief and carried our sorrow. See, we have to lean and depend on that. I think it's our crutch in many times. Surely he has bore our grief. Oh, no. Our bodies are not made to hold up all the sorrows of this world. So surely he has bore our grief. And he's carried our sorrows. What needless pain we bear, all because we just simply do not carry them to God in prayer. He's willing to carry your sorrows. Hallelujah. And then it says, by his stripes, we are healed. It's hard to get that one by. It's hard to get that one by. You know, as ministers and laypersons and evangelists, and we often find ourselves in situations where we're praying for the same people about the same thing all the time. And as many times that those same people, you have to convince them over and over and over again that God is still God. Whether you believe him or not, God's word still stands the same. Because it's hard to believe when your body is aching in pain. By his stripes, we are healed. It's hard to believe when your body is covered with psoriasis. And every part of your skin is just blotched and just looks horrible. And skin is just shedding off of you, and it's just itching uncontrollably, and you can't seem to get it together. It's hard to believe that, whoa, my skin will be fresh and new again. It's hard to believe. That's why we have to think on good thoughts. We have to keep our minds concentrated in the Word. Hear my teachings tonight. I want to teach to you tonight. You got to learn to keep yourself in the Word. When you're out here walking and living life, that's something we got to do. It's so many different things to deter you, to get you wrong, to get you off of your pathway. But if you stuff the goodness off in your heart, out of your mouth, you speak abundance of goodness. You
know the Bible has many promises and examples that clearly establishes that our God, has made healing available to us. Because we are his children. We are his children. So healing is available to us by faith. Healing is a settled fact. It's already settled. You got to believe that God is willing. You know, the first step to realizing that is always God's will to heal. It's always God's will to heal. The word of God settled this issue in Matthew 8:23. It tells us, it says, and behold, there came a leper and worshiped him. And you know the story. And then the worshiper was saying, and said the Lord, if thou can make me clean. Jesus just put forth his hand and he touched him and said, I will. So be thou clean. Amen. He said, I will. Be thou clean. The question was presented to him again. It said, the leper said, as he came and worshiped him, he said to the Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus just put his hands out and said, touched him and said, I will, my brother. I will, my son. I will, my friend, to be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. I will, my sister. I will heal you. I will, my brother. I will deliver you. I will set you free. Hallelujah. You know, it's almost like you're excited about something and you're waiting on this healing and you're wanting it and you really, really want it and you ask for it and you don't know how to receive it when it's right there before you. Let's just look at it like this. You know, as a parent, say your child has really been wanting this bike, and they've described this bike to you, and they've done extra chores for this bike. They really want this bike. And then you, as a parent, decide this is the day. The timing is right. They made themselves worthy. They did what they needed to do. They followed the rules that has been set before them. Whatever the circumstances are, this is the time that I'm going to bless them with advice. And you bring this big box in there, and you got it, the bow all around it, and you tell them, hey, walk into the room, here you go. And they walk into the room, and they look at this big bike, and they turn back around and say, well, I'm going to go back outside and go play with some friends. I sure wish I had a bike. And you're thinking to yourself, what? I've just delivered this gift to you. What you've been asking for, what you've been praying for, what you've been begging for has been presented to you. I dare you, my child, to roam and continue to ask and pray and moan and groan for what is thus given to you. The same circumstances with God and us. He said, my child has, they have done the things that needed to be done. They set themselves in the right place. Here's your deliverance. Here's your deliverance, my daughter. I will be thou clean. I will be thou healed. And you turn right back around and pick up the phone and call somebody else. You know, I'm in so much pain right now, and I'm just waiting on my healing, sister. I'm waiting on my healing, brother. Oh, I don't know if I can make it much longer. And he said, what? I just delivered you the healing that you've been praying about. You were already healed. I needed you to accept it. And now here's your acceptance agreement. Will you sign it? Will you just pick it up and wear it? You know, like most people, the question of the leper to Jesus was not, can you heal me? See, there was no doubt in the leper's mind about Jesus' power to heal. He must have heard about the many other great miracles of healing that Jesus had done, and he was convinced that Jesus could make him clean from that horrible disease. His only concern that day was, if thou shalt. He said, if thou will. That was his only concern. So Jesus looked at his heart and said, well, that's his only concern. Let me go and settle this for him now. So Jesus, again, he settled it. He settled the issue once and for all with a simple statement. I will. I will. That's what he's delivering to you right now today. I will make you whole. I will set you free. I will get you, sustain you, even when you leave that abusive relationship. I will. I will be there for you, even though your mother walked out on you. I will. I will be there for you, even though you say that you went through all kind of abusive relationships. He said, I will. I'll be your mother to the motherless. I will. I'll move that drug addict father out of the way just so I can be your father. But you're so concentrated. You're so upset, and all you can see is that I don't have a father here. Joe and Bobby and Billy across the street have a father. I don't have a father. He said, I'm your father. Oh, my mom left me. He said, I'll be your mother. He said, I will. I will, I will, I will. I will deliver you from that pornography. I will set you free from that sexual addiction that's been over your head, that everywhere you go, everyone's afraid of you because that you're doing behind doors and peeping in windows, and God sees you. And he says, this is your time. I will deliver you. I will. I will. You got to know that faith begins where the will of God is known. You see, I accept the fact that the word of God is final authority of the subject of healing. If it be your will, when praying and believing God for healing. Now, although it may sound very holy and religious to some people to close a prayer in that way, but we realize, you've got to realize that it's a lethal statement when attached to the prayer of faith. However, the prayer of consecration very often could contain the question, if it be your will, when seeking wisdom about something, because you don't want to go against God's will, so his wisdom, if you're asking him about his wisdom, yeah, you, in the prayer, you do say, if it be your will, when you're seeking the wisdom about something. Like in the Garden of Gethsemane. Drops of blood as he fervently prayed, Father, if thou be willing, remove this. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. We read about that in Luke 22, right? Now, when Jesus prayed this prayer, it had absolutely nothing to do with healing. Are you understanding me? Are you separating the two there? He was asking about the wisdom. So he said, if it's thy will, may it be done. You know, whenever you make a solid stand on the will of God concerning your healing, someone usually brings up Paul's thorn in the flesh. Has anybody brought that up to you? However, it's very clear that Paul wasn't talking about sickness because he describes his thorn as a messenger of Satan to buffer me in 2 Corinthians 12, I think it's around 7. That's the way Paul describes his thorn. He said, as the messenger of Satan to buffer me. You know, just a few chapters before this, Paul had communicated how he was overcoming troubling situations because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He even wrote in 2 Corinthians 4, and it paraphrased or it said something like, we're troubled on every side, yet not we're distressed. He said, we're perplexed, but we're not in despair. He said, we're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. He said, we're cast down, but we're not destroyed. So although he did not deny the trouble, Paul was determined to focus on faith instead of the attack.
Amen?
So then in the same book, Paul got very specific about how he was buffered by that nasty thorn. Now, I'm going to read a little bit of this for you in 2 Corinthians 11:24. Let's start. It said, "Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. And generally often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often." That's that word that we don't like, right? Fasting and often together. "In cold and in nakedness. In Damascus, the governor under the king kept the city of Damascus with a garrison to apprehend me. And through a window in the basket, I let down the wall and escaped his hand." See, I'm not saying that Paul was never attacked in his flesh or never needed to be personally healed. Remember the snake bite, so he needed to be personally healed. But what I'm trying to say from what I just read to you is that, you know, the people standing around, they expected him to swell up and die, right? When he was bit by the snake. They expected him to just start suffering and seizuring and die. But Paul shook it off in the fire, and he wasn't harmed at all. Paul shook it off, this dangerous snake, into the fire, to its death. And yet Paul was not harmed at all. Would you see that no matter what type of attack the devil launched, Paul overcame it? That thorn in his flesh, he overcame. He later boldly declared on his letter to Timothy that the Lord delivered him out of them all. Out of them all. We got to believe and follow Jesus' example. You know, the ministry of Jesus revealed the truth about healing through the gospel. In Matthew 4:23, we are told that Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manners of sickness and all manners of disease among the people. Is that the word? Do you believe the word? So each time Jesus would teach, each time he would preach the gospel of the kingdom, healing was the result. Think about the time when the doctors of the law from every town, Galilee and Jerusalem and Judea, they would gather to hear Jesus. And Luke 5:17 says that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Somebody ought to write that down. Luke 5:17, go read the story there. I think you can apply that right now, just like a Band-Aid. It says the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Notice that the healing power of God was present to touch every person in that jam-packed house, but not one of them tapped into the life force of God. Not one of them tapped into the life force of God. But the power, the healing power of God, was present there to touch each and every one of them. All that power was just waiting for someone to just make a demand on it and get healed. All of that power was just there, available to anyone who believed and was ready to receive it. You know, sometimes we get caught up so much that we're so used to complaining.
We're so used to someone saying, how are you doing today, sister? Oh, wow. I have a backache and a knee ache, and the doctor said they don't think I'm going to make it too much longer. They don't know how I made it this far, and, you know, my children's acting up, and the dog's been sick, and I'm trying to share my medicine with the cat. So we get in such a habit of complaining or being sick that once our pain has been relieved, sometimes we don't know are we feeling better today or not. Because we're so used to that pain that we forget to check. Can I bend over now? Can I squat down? Can I do some of the things that I could not do yesterday? Amen? If you're believing for that healing, start trying to do some things that you couldn't do. Have faith to really stand on it and believe it. You ask for it, believe your God, and he's going to deliver it. Amen. Amen. But all of the power was there in that room, just waiting for someone to make a demand on it, just waiting on somebody to get healed. We'll go into different seminars, and or we'll go to before a prophetess, or, and we wait on them, and we say, well, you know, they didn't come and touch me, so I didn't get healed. But the power of God was there. You know, thankfully, it was a crippled man in the story. A crippled man was carried to the meeting by the friends that you want to have. You want to have determined friends, right? So you know the story about the crippled man who was carried to the meeting by four determined and dedicated friends, I might add. And these friends that was ready to do whatever it took to get their friend to Jesus. You know, family won't even do that sometimes for you. But that he had four determined, dedicated friends. You know, they seemed to know that healing would be the result of the teaching and the preaching of Jesus. Guess what? They were right. So when they arrived with their sick friend, the house was so packed with preachers, bishops, apostles, evangelists, ministers. I can just imagine, you know. You know how we are. All with their collars and their titles, and was so packed that they had to tile to the roof to let their friend down in front of Jesus. That's determination. That's dedication. Luke 5:18 tells us, it says, and behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch in the midst before Jesus. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and he took up that whereof he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God, glorifying God. As I close tonight, I just love that story. It shows how very wonderful it is for us to just be connected to people of faith, connected to people of faith that know how to assess the healing power of God. Hallelujah. And when you need a healing or any other miracle from God, we should seek out those that teach healing is for today and that healing belongs to us. We need to seek them out. It is our covenant right as born-again believers in Jesus Christ. And like the radical friends in Luke 5:18, that we're prepared to do whatever it takes. We got to be determined to reach people and change lives. We got to believe in the great commission of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Every day we're using every available opportunity, every tool that we have to proclaim that Jesus is Christ. And healing is not something that was in yesteryears,
but it's right here for you today. I'm so excited to join our faith with your faith today and every day as we follow Jesus' example, as we're teaching, as we're preaching, and people are being healed. We say, glory to God, glory to God. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I would like to invite you to just repeat after me. I want to introduce you to a friend like no other, a healer, a deliverer. Someone's there who in the midnight hours when everyone else is gone, he's still there. He's still listening to you. He knows your heart, not just the words that you say. God loves you. And he wants you to know that he has peace and healing for you at the cross. Just repeat after me. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. Jesus, I thank you for loving me enough to die for me. And I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on the cross. And I receive you as my Savior and Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Now, if you just pray that prayer, congratulations, because you are a new creature in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You have a brand new life of victory, of peace, and peace and healing ahead of you. From this day on, the Prince of Peace is with you. The Prince of Healing is with you to help you conquer any trials that come your way. Now, it's important that you reach out and let someone know of your decision to follow Christ. I would love to hear from you. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Walkwithmegod@aol.com. Well, this is your host, Evangelist Von Dillman. God bless you all. Until the next broadcast, I love you, but God loves you more. Good night.